It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 591. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended, on demand, through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. No email tonight. Going to save what emails I've received for future shows. But I have two voicemails, and you can leave me a voicemail at 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also MikeNationNet. And we have the wiki, and that's at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, all of the show notes, the audio. It's a great resource. Check that out. And that is mtswiki.com. Jam-packed show. Like I said, I have two voicemails that I'm going to start the show off with. We're going to talk about some problems in the trenches that I solve for clients. One, managing browser saved passwords. Got a great link for you and what I had to do for a client this week. Active sync device info. Going to talk about the limits and some things I've ran into with another client. QuickBooks password recovery tool. Had to reset someone's QuickBooks password because they forgot it. And then a Mr. Robot tip from season one. I am going to talk about Proton Mail, which is a free end-to-end encrypted email. Let's get started with the first voicemail.
Hi, Mike. Chris here, long-time listener, and I wanted to kind of ask a little question. I run several computer labs all over the area that I live in, and my boss's choice has been deep freeze, and for the most part, it works well, but other times, not so much. Out of 70 computers, probably on a weekly basis, you know, between 5 and 7 just become unfrozen during the maintenance period. And the whole point of having it is not to have to go outside on site and freeze it and stuff like that. And we use this deep freeze cloud, and essentially it, you know, that goes out to the cloud and pulls down the instructions. And sometimes it just doesn't work. And, you know, technical support has been less than helpful. One guy already peed in, and he said, well, I can't ping out. So there's something, you have some firewall rule. And I looked, and it was his firewall on his software that was keeping it from working. And so I'm just not really sure if there's a different alternative or if there's some suggestions. Basically, I have it set to enter maintenance period at night, and then kind of, you shut down and then turn on. And it, like I said, it works for the most part, but we're paying for something that doesn't work 100%. And I feel like everybody tells me deep freeze is the industrial standard. And I just want to know if it's me. I wanted to kind of put the word out and see if everybody else experienced that problem. And if there is an alternative, because I think we're paying a pretty good price for something that doesn't work 100%. So just wanted to let you know and see what the listeners thought. Thank you.
Great question. And I'm not familiar with Deep Freeze Enterprise, and I've been looking at the website, and it's very cool. It allows you from the cloud, for a Deep Freeze cloud, to be able to completely freeze and re-image a system from the cloud. It makes workstation configurations indestructible. They guarantee 100% workstation recovery upon restart. I'm shocked that a service like that's not working better with you to try to solve your problem. I don't know how big of a company this is. you might want to try calling back and explaining your problem and ask to be escalated to someone else, maybe a supervisor or a manager or somebody that can be more responsive to you with the technical difficulties you're having where, you know, you lose access to 6 or 7 computers. I think it would be too costly for the recommendation that I would have, which would be you would need a device at each location that you could then remote into and manage redeploying the image of the system. You would have to do something on site. And I know there's a Linux distribution that allows you to actually push and manage Windows images to a system. So here's what I'm asking everybody. What are you using to do this? Is there competition for Deep Freeze out there? Are you using something that might be a better alternative? And if you can, let me know and I will share it. Thanks for your voicemail and let's see if we can get you some help. But I wouldn't let go this company. All the money you're paying, I would beat them up a little more in trying to help you solve your problem. Second voicemail from Kevin.
Hey, Mike, this is the Kevin with the Computer Doctor in Richmond. Hey, just listening to your latest two shows, 589, and Dean was talking about how he's got the problem with getting CAD files to the owner's home computer. And one thing that came to mind was Logman Hamachi. That thing is still around. I know I used it forever ago, and it would work or something like that. But then again, like you said, it also really depends on internet connection both from the office and at the owner's home. So there's a lot of variables involved in something like that. But it certainly might be worth taking a look at if Logman Hamachi is still around. The other reason I was calling is on your previous show, the 588, you were talking about how you had a customer that you had to remote in and transfer Microsoft Office, I think it was 2010, it was like 700 megs or something along those lines, through their horrible, very slow internet connection out in the country. One thing you may want to consider doing if you ever come across that again is throw the file into a zip folder on your NAS, your Synology NAS, and then just send them the public link to that file. So that way they can download it in their own time. And once it's downloaded, then you can, of course, use your remote connection to jump in and get it installed. But that way you don't have to try and transfer the file through your remote connection. That, of course, is going to take a long time. You've just been there waiting. Just something to think about, the public file access option through the NAS, Synology NAS. Thanks. Keep up the good work. I'm always listening.
Kevin, great suggestions. And the first one, I'm ashamed that I didn't think of Logman Hamachi, which I use for a client, a title insurance company. That's how they get back to Title Express. And I use Logman Hamachi for a client. Basically, that's an encrypted VPN so you can get back to the source at, you know, a server or even at for this one client, it's a peer workstation. And it works really well, but you have to have good internet connections for all of this to work. So that's definitely something to look at. And I think they even have like a 30-day trial that you can actually test this out. Logman Hamachi does is it adds a virtual network adapter. It gets you a private, it's a public IP address that Logman owns. And then it basically creates an endpoint encrypted end-to-end tunnel between your machine and where you're connecting. So you put you have different connections that you can have a mesh connection set up. It's a little difficult to get it to work out of the box. Like when you're starting out with Hamachi, it's not obvious and it's not as easy as it looks. You think it's just going to be plug and play and you click install. It takes a little configuring, but once you get it configured, it works great. And I think it's like $49 a year. So it's pretty inexpensive. So that's the one. The second, I have never used sharing links to files on my Synology NAS. So after listening to your voicemail, Kevin, I put a file that I was going to send to one of my other email addresses, the link, and I right-clicked on the file. When you log in to manage your Synology NAS, you can go to the file manager, right-click a file, and then pick to share the link. You're basically sharing the link through the Synology Cloud, where it gives a very encrypted link, and you can set a password. So I picked a password for that file. I sent the link to myself. I clicked on it. It prompted me for the password before I'd see the file. And then you only get that file that you shared. Now you can share a file or a folder. Very simple, very easy way to privately share files to others from your own hosted Synology NAS. Great, great use for that. And links will be in the show notes. I have a link for the deep freeze. I have a link for LogMe and Hamachi and a link of a knowledge base article describing how to do that on the Synology. So thank you for the voicemails. Keep them coming. It's been a while. Let's talk about some things I've been working on in the trenches for some clients. I have a client that has a gateway computer running Windows 98, and he has QuickBooks 2004, and he forgot his QuickBooks password. Now, to make matters worse, we have no internet connectivity on this computer, and the one USB port does not work. So I have no way, unless actually I could probably burn the utility on a CD, but I don't even know if it would run under Windows 98. Here's what I had my son do when he was on site. I said, take the hard drive out of the computer and bring it to me. I plugged it into my IDE to USB adapter. Now that I had it on my computer, I knew where the QuickBooks file was. I copied it over to my system, and my system's running Windows 10 Pro. I used the utility QuickBooks password from Last Bit Software for free. I know they have a paid version, but I don't know what the paid version will do. The free version of this was great. I couldn't find the password, but it allowed me to reset the password. And I believe I successfully reset the password. Now, the ultimate test, tomorrow morning, my son, he has the drive. He's heading out to that office. He's putting the drive back in, and he's going to have him access QuickBooks. I wanted to give all the information surrounding this, which is he's running Windows 98, and he's doing the right thing. It's not on the internet, so he can't get hacked. He can't get malware. The question is, will the hardware keep running? This is an older gentleman, obviously, who has a little shop that he is going to possibly be selling the business in a year. And he says, Mike, I want to get one more year out of this computer. So if you can help me just get another year out of this computer, I don't need a new one. If he absolutely had to, he was ready to pull the trigger and get a new computer. But you got to love his persistence and wanting to keep that running. And I'm going to, at some point, it's going to cost him more money. He could have bought a new computer than it would be for me to possibly keep working on it. So we'll see. But the main thing is, I was able to reset a QuickBooks password. So the next thing I want to talk about, a client on Sunday wants to remove the saved password from her mother's computer. This person is 70 years old, and she's at her mother's computer. So let's put this, the context you need for this. And she doesn't want her Gmail login to auto log in and be remembered. So a couple things. One, you got to make sure that you log out of Gmail or whatever app. But it brought up an interesting topic that I want to share the link on how to remove a saved password from a browser. This is a link from Boston University, but they very, very neatly put all of the instructions for Mozilla Firefox, Internet Explorer, Chrome, Safari, and Opera. So let's just review Firefox. You have to go to choose preferences, then switch to the security tab, click on saved logins. You can remove all, or you can eliminate a specifically saved password. So I launched Instant House Call, connect it, and went in and removed for the site. You get a list of all of your saved passwords in Firefox. It's actually pretty depressing when you see that all of your passwords are visible in all of your browsers. Lesson there is you really shouldn't save your password in your browser, especially on a laptop. So if your laptop's not secured and locked down and you lose it, you don't want anybody getting into your banking information or your PayPal information. If your system becomes compromised, do as I say, not as I do. I recommend not saving passwords, but every client of mine always saves their password. And then if we ever got to clean the cache and all the cookies and everything, that they can't remember their passwords because they have no good password management. But that's another topic. This is the list where you can go to Internet Explorer, Chrome, Safari, Opera, Firefox, all the browsers, and individually manage individual saved passwords. Next, one of my clients who uses SureWeb for their hosted exchange recently upgraded their mobile phone. So they have a new iPhone and they could not sync their mail with SureWeb Exchange hosted. I was thinking about this and I logged on to the admin panel for their domain in SureWeb land and discovered, and I remembered this from before, and I've had to use this for other clients, you're only allowed 3 active sync devices. And since he had multiple iPhones, he was taking up all 3 of the slots. So he really only has an iPad and an iPhone. So I deleted the other 2 iPhones, had him then reconnect and recreate the account, worked instantly. So it brings up a point. What is the limit? Because 3 seems very limited for active sync. It's too minor for a user to be able to only have 3 devices. So I went looking for other hosted exchange alternatives. What is their active sync limit for mobile devices? And I found Office 365 on Microsoft's site, and I just don't believe this. They said 100. And that, I think, is what an Exchange server can do. But I don't know if that's 100 devices for an individual. I just don't see that. And I'm going to, when I get a chance, contact tech support of SureWeb. I want to know if there's a way to add more. Are they holding back and they charge you for more active sync devices for an account? Or is this a physical limitation of Exchange per user? I'm not sure. So I'd like somebody to weigh in on this to help me. I'm more familiar with SureWeb. I do have one client now with Office 365. So I'm going to take a look and see what the limit is. I'm going to create an account for myself and then see if I can test the limits. I certainly have enough devices here that I can definitely do that. And I'll report back on my real world test of Office 365. But I don't use AppRiver and some of your other popular hosted exchange services. If you're on that and you use a hosted exchange service, I'd like to know what the limit of active sync devices per account is allowed for the service that you're using. My next topic here is Proton Mail. This was mentioned briefly in an episode of season 1 of Mr. Robot. Now, you know, last show, I talked about the program Deep Sound. Here is a free service hosted in Switzerland providing end-to-end encryption for your email. Messages are stored on Proton Mail servers in an encrypted format. They are also transmitted in encrypted format between the servers and user devices. Any messages from a Proton Mail server to a Proton Mail server are completely encrypted. But if you send a message outside of the Proton Mail servers on the email client For the web browser, you click encrypt when you compose a message. You are now setting a password just for that email. You can put everything, anything you want for that email, send it to a recipient. When they get the email, it's going to say there is an encrypted Proton mail waiting for them. There's a link. When you click on that link, you have to know that password in order to decrypt the message. And you're now brought into a portal where you can read the message, get the attachment, whatever you sent them that was encrypted. That person can reply from there to you and send an encrypted reply back to you. Here's what you have to set up. You need another email account for verification. So you could use your Gmail account or whatever other email account that you have. You set a password to log into your email account. Then you pick a very specific decrypt password for your inbox that even Proton Mail does not have. If you lose that password, game over. They can't help you. If any government agency was to make a formal request to them, the mail's encrypted. They do not even have the ability to decrypt your messages. If you want a way to send end-to-end encryption, there's lots of services out there, but none of them are free. This is a very slick email platform that if you need this type of service, take a look. Now, that's the free version. For paid version, you can actually use a domain and you can have your domain use this and send end-to-end encrypted email. Very cool. Definitely worthy of testing and playing with this. A lot of these things that you see that I discuss, I enjoy plucking out of Mr. Robot, especially last night's episode with the rubber ducky. Anybody who watches the series will know that reference. The technology is accurate, but again, if you want to play and explore, these are things you may or may not want to use for your business or your services. I don't know. You got to make that choice for yourself. But I want to give you interesting things to try, things that you can explore, maybe get you to think outside the box for doing something. And I like different, and I like doing things sometimes just to play and explore and learn. And that's what I'm hoping some of these utilities that I'm sharing with you stimulates the brain and gets you thinking differently and gets you thinking on using some services. And you might find a way to incorporate that for yourself or for a client. That's what I want you to do with Proton Mail. But here you go. Maybe I got to send someone a Windows key. Well, I don't want that in public email. I'll send that encrypted. Maybe it's sensitive information that you need to send to a friend or a family member. This is a good service to have in your back pocket to be able to use for that. So this way, that email can't be compromised. There are some real-world applications here. Give it a try. Let me know. Use it. Hopefully, you'll find it useful. Something I have not been doing is playing music at the end of a show. I haven't done that in a while. And tonight, I have received this week the latest CD from Liz Longley. And you know I've been playing her music for the past 11 years. She's born and raised in the Philadelphia area and is really starting to make a name for herself. I picked a track from her CD that I want to play tonight called Swing. Her album is titled Weightless. I will be back after the song to wrap up. Give a listen.
There's something so freeing, not staying or leaving, keeping you guessing, hanging on. Don't take it personal, babe, personally. This is less about you and this is more about me. Not making promises I could never keep. I just wanna swing. or make me stand still. Can't hold me back, no, nobody ever will. Can't settle me down or make me stand still. Can't hold me back, nobody ever will. Can't settle me down or make me stand still. I just wanna swim.
That was Liz Longley from her new CD titled Weightless and the song Swing. And I will have a link for you in the show notes to be able to purchase that new CD from Amazon using my Amazon link. If you purchase from Amazon, if you know anybody that purchases from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really appreciate all of your support. Also, for my sponsor, Instant House Call, give it a try. Try it out, instanthousecall.com. Download the trial. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro, amazing software to transfer your settings from one system to another. Also, Bryce Whitty's Computer Business Kit version 3. If you know anybody that does any consulting or repair shop or any kind of computer work for a business, this is the set of forms that you need for your business. That's it. Glad to be back on regular time on a Thursday night tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please stay subscribed. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.